I'm looking forward to the sermon also. Just now, just remember, if there's any one of you that still needs to, if you want to register for Saturday morning, for the breakfast, where we're going to talk a little bit about relationships, or if there's anyone for the Friday evening for the braai, please give up your names. The lady at the info table is not there anymore now, but you can speak to me afterwards, or you can speak to Saskia here. Please let us know. We need to do some planning. We need to know the numbers. Please let us know. I think it's going to be wonderful. I really look forward. I think it's an out weekend for the youth, eh? It's out weekend. So you better make a plan and pray for a tent or something that you can stay in Windhoek. Make a friend. If you don't have a friend that's got a house in Windhoek, make a friend this week. Ask them if you can stay with them. Maybe see if you can make a plan. It will be wonderful to have you guys, ladies, also here. Then just a little bit on my heart, and I'm so glad the way the morning has progressed and what has happened, because I really feel it's adding to my sermon and what I've got on my heart and what I want to share this morning. I really feel I want to do it and lay it as a foundation, especially something I really feel that we're going to build on this year, something, and that's, we're going to talk a little bit to the ladies this morning. So if you're a lady, you better listen up. It's going to be a lot for you. But as important, if you're here and you're male, it's important that we understand as well, that we understand scripture. Just something on the side I want to share that has blessed me so much. You know, many times we as Christians, we talk to each other, we encourage each other, we meet in small groups or intercession or church, and we build each other. But when I page through the newspapers, I don't see a lot about Christians' testimonies or anything like that. And I just want to share it. There's one guy in one of the South African newspapers that always on Friday mornings, he writes a review or what you call it. And you know, he's actually from a military background, so usually he writes whatever. There's always war somewhere in the world, and he usually he's like a commentator, you know, he's interpreting a little bit what's happening. And the past week he wrote about, you know, South Africa and immorality and all the sad things. You know, if you've been watching the news the past month or two in South Africa, there were so many sad incidents and stuff that has happened. And obviously it's the same in Namibia, you know, we just less people. But then he said to us, listen, South Africans, don't feel so bad. Just look at Europe. There's so many bad or even worse things happening on that side. And then almost just at the bottom, you know, he tried to, you know, talk a little bit about what's the root of all these problems. And one of the things he said, you know, is, and he never writes as a Christian, but I think he definitely knows something. And then there at the end, he just said, you know, it's especially in Europe because churches and church attendance and Christian, you know, the faith in a sense are declining, you know, and that makes way for so much darkness and so much bad stuff to happen. And then he just talks a little bit about that. And I thought, like, well, 10 out of 10, I think you really hit something, because society or government or municipalities or whoever can try and put whatever measures in place for sad things or bad things not to happen, you know. But I'm not so sure how effective that will be. I think the place where people change is, the place where I've changed, are in church. And I think if churches grow and expand, you know, then there will be less place for darkness. So that's just a little bit on the side, something that encouraged me so much, always following his articles and just Friday morning reading that. And I thought, like, well, I think I'm going to send you an email sometime. I really agree with you. But what I have on my heart this morning is I want to talk a little bit about women in ministry. And as I said, you know, we're going to share a little bit more on ladies. Our show for our bigger church group, we've got something that's called the Watchman's Blog. And that's where every time we churches pray and stuff, and we feel that the Lord is showing us something, we communicate it to each other. And then when we get to a place where we see three or four different people say, okay, yellow, then we know God wants to do something about yellow, and we need to figure out. And one of the things that was really interesting is some of the words and stuff we got. You know, a lady called Lady Gaga, have you heard about her? I've heard about her. Probably it seems that the youth doesn't know who she is. That's awesome. Okay, do you know who she is? Okay, but anyways, you know, when she was in South Africa, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think she had a bit of a plan or something that she wanted to do there. But there's so many people that is not 15 or 16 or 17 following her. There's a lot of adults. A lot of adults, people, especially women in their 30s or 40s, that also put their hands up to be some of her little monsters. And that's very sad, and it's really drawing people into a very bad place. But I don't want to get too much into that. As I said, in the next month or so, I will minister a little bit more on this. But the thing that I have on my heart this morning and that I want to share a little bit on is throughout church history, okay, women in ministry has been a challenge. And many churches or denominations didn't know quite what to do with your precious ladies. And I can say this morning, I like you ladies a lot because I'm a married man. Okay, and I love my wife a lot because she's a blessing to me and she's a blessing to our family. And I know the ministry that she has. Okay, I know what their ministry is. And I'm so glad that there's so many young people that you can hear this. Now, as I said, there's been some confusion regarding this thing. And the point is, sometimes you can ask the question now, is it a men against women thing, or is it a scripture against ladies thing? What is this thing that the Apostle Paul is writing about? How should we interpret it? Okay, I'll get to those verses just now. But I think there's a lot of confusion many times. So, you know, we come from certain backgrounds and different cultures. If you go to Asia or the Middle East, you'll see people do things and dress a lot differently. I think a lot of you ladies will probably be stoned if you go there right now. Or some, maybe myself even, I don't know, just talking about women in church. But the long and the short is that if we look at our own church, there's a lot of really awesome ladies, that small group facilitators, that will be zone coaches soon, that leads the worship. As you saw this morning, the ladies were the people that brought word, something that they feel on their hearts that God is showing us, and there was response. You know, if you attend church, who are, I would say 75% of the time, the words that are brought, okay, or the testimonies or scripture are brought by ladies. Okay, now there's some places in scripture where it actually says ladies should be silent in church. Okay, we know that Leanne and Saskia, for instance, are worship leaders, nah? And they are ladies. Some of our ministry leaders for Kiddies Church or the Look and Feel team or whatever ministry are also ladies. Okay, so what do we do with this thing? What do we do with the Joyce Myers of this world, etc.? Or if you're part of Shofar Christian Church, you will know Pastor Fred's wife, Pastor Lucille May. She's quite a powerful teacher, quite a powerful intercessor. The men are at last, they are getting also adding to it. But there was this time, then it was me and the previous elder David, and a lot of ladies at a place like intercession, where we interceded and we prayed, but we also get word, you know. We don't want to leave a meeting and don't know what the Lord is telling us, okay? So the thing is now, can ladies be in some places leaders in ministry? Are they allowed to talk in some places and not others? How do we interpret this thing? What do we do with this? So I first want to start off, and I believe that in my opinion, and this is not thus says Shofar or the Bible, this is what I think. You know, there's a lot of inequality or unequality in our society in Namibia. There's a lot of still places where I want to say ladies has made a lot of progress, but there's still in some places in marriages or family life where women don't walk in the place I think they can or should be. So you must hear me now. Don't throw things at me yet. I'm going to try and wrap everything up together today. But let's first start and look at what we would say is the challenge, okay? I don't want to say any scripture is a problem or problematic because I love scripture, and that it's just like we are far removed from Paul, you know, when you wrote these things. In the previous church service, I also said, if I speak to the Paul, the apostle right now, about Apple iPhones or McDonald's or stuff, you will also need a Bible commentary probably to understand what is happening in terms of iPhones and WhatsApp and Mixit and, you know, Skype and all those things. You will probably don't know anything about that. So we need to go back, in a sense, and see what he's meant. Who was the crowd he wrote written to? So the first scripture I want to go to, you can skip those ones. I think there's another one you can skip. No, I'm skipping too many. And just one more. Yes, that's what I want to read. I want to read you from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 to 35. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. This is Corinthians, that's not Genesis or Exodus or something, eh? Verse 35, if there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak into church. Now, I've heard a few ladies speak this morning, so we must ask ourselves now, are we as a church out of line, or are we missing something? If you go to the next scripture in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 verse 11 and 12, one back, yeah. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Okay, so if you read this and you just don't look at the rest of Scripture, it's quite easy that we can say this morning, listen, Pastor, we are probably an unbiblical church, because there was a lady that did announcements. Okay, sometimes ladies do the offering or the communion. They bring word in terms of spiritual gifts. So how do we see this thing? How do we interpret this thing? And I think one of the biggest challenges or the biggest mistakes we can make is to take something out of context. I've said many times, I think you can take anything from Scripture, okay, and try to justify a cause if you take it out of context. Okay, you can almost say to someone, listen, I believe it's okay to kill that guy, because have you seen King David, a man after God's heart, killing a giant? I mean, God said it's okay in a sense. He didn't say it's wrong. So killing can. So you can, if you take things out of context, you can really try and prove anything almost. And that's usually where you get cults or sects, where people misinterpret Scripture, or they take some things out of context and they try to make it something that it's never supposed to be. So out of these, especially out of these two verses, there's been two schools of thought that has been developed in a sense. Okay, the one has been like Matthew Henry has said. Let me just read it to you. Where's Matthew Henry? Okay, there he is. You know, he's a very good Bible interpreter and written a lot of commentaries, and his doctrine is usually quite good. But you know, someone like Matthew Henry still said gender is used as a disqualifier of women in certain ministries. Women are not allowed to be public teachers in church, but they may teach their children at home, okay? So you can't bring word in church or something. You can't teach, but do it at home. Now, I don't know how to say, if you're not a married lady and you can't ask your husband at home, what will you do? Okay, how will you learn? How will you grow? So we need to look at this, and we need to come to a place to see really what is God's heart, you know, not just in those two verses, but in all of Scripture. Okay, because I know you guys, and here's a lot of really anointed ladies. So bear with me this morning. There's many people like Catherine Kuhlman, Catherine Booth, Joyce Myers, Lisa Bevere, Hetty Brits in South Africa with powerful ministries, really teaching and educating, I believe, building up the church, building up the body, and really doing some good work. So there's two golden rules. There's two really good rules. If you can go to that slide. As I said, Scripture is written over 1,500 years. It's been in a totally different time. So when we interpret it today, let's look at that. One of them says, a golden rule in Bible interpretation is to interpret Scripture with Scripture. Another golden rule in interpretation is to compare Scripture with Scripture. That means if we find a difficult piece of Scripture, like 1 Timothy or 1 Corinthians, okay, we need to go to other parts of Scripture and find for some clues. We need to go and research there what God says, what He reveals in His heart, and that we can try to come to a place of understanding. So I said taking something or seeing something in context is really important, okay? There's a few clues there. You can look at the literary context. Every verse is part of a chapter. Every chapter is part of a book. Every book is part of either the New Testament or the Old Testament. Things were a little bit different in the two, stuff that we should take note of. The historical context, when was it written, who wrote it, to whom was it written, and then also look at the social and the cultural context. You know, just to acknowledge and to say, thanks Anna, that listen, the way Jews did things and in Jewish society or the ancient Near East, things were different than we experience things right now. Okay, so I'm just going to not even spend too much time on that. You can go and check at home. There's a lot of scriptures. There's a lot of places in the Old Testament where we can see how God, in a sense, I want to say, partnered or used ladies for a cause, something he wanted to be established. And that is why we have it in Scripture. We can look at Miriam, we can look at Deborah, we can look at Huldah in 2 Kings. There's many ladies like Esther or Ruth or Rahab that we can go and see how God used them. Okay, he didn't say, you're a female, that means we can't use you, let's go and look for another male. God used them. We can see that the place are written in Scripture forever and ever, because God said, you know, we can never take something away from Scripture. It will always stand. But what I want to focus on, I want to focus a little bit more on the new dispensation, under the new covenant, under the when after Jesus came, you know, he died on the cross, he's risen, and a lot of things have changed for us between from the Old Testament to the new. Under the old covenant, only males that were Levites were able to be priests, okay? But we know in the New Testament it says that we are all priests. We are all priests and we are all kings, okay? We are a royal priesthood, okay? That means all of us can pray. All of us can intercede. All of us can say, Lord, I pray for my mother. I pray for my father. I pray for my friend. I pray for my neighbor, okay? It's not more powerful when a man prays. If me pray or myself, if I'm praying and interceding for someone and my sister is praying, that's the same. Okay, God is not saying, listen, you men, you should pray more because it's more powerful. Okay, we are all priests. We can all represent people before God. So I want us to look in Acts right there at the start. Acts is a very exciting chapter. I think it's quite fast-paced. It's something nice to look at. And I want to start here and read Acts 1, verse 13 and 14. I want to start off by reading that. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Take note, they were in one accord, they were praying, okay? It was men praying and it was women. We can see they were all there present in the upper room. It wasn't just the men that was there waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was ladies as well. And they were in one accord. That means they were in unity. It doesn't say only the men were praying. The women were also praying. They were all praying. Okay, that's important to take note of, because in the Jewish culture, in the temples, you know, people wouldn't sit like this. The men would be on one side and the women at the other side. In a sense, they didn't mix. Okay, and here now, after Jesus' ministry, early in Acts, they are all sitting together. All, everyone, ladies and gents, all together, and they are waiting for the Holy Spirit. They are interceding, male and female. Then Acts 2, verse 3 to 5, then we see actually the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The tongues of fire appear on people's heads. They start speaking different tongues. And we see for the first time in the New Testament that the group of people received the Holy Spirit. How exciting, you know? But before when that rushing wind came, okay, the apostles or Peter or those guys didn't say, okay, ladies, quickly, go, go, go. It's just for the men. No, the ladies stayed. They received that as well, okay? So God gave the Holy Spirit for all of us. And you know, that's so precious about prophecy in Scripture. Way back, many centuries before, if we read in Acts 2, verse 16, then we will see Joel, he was prophesying, And he was there in Acts 2, verse 16. He says, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in verse 17, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay, so once again, exactly there, we see progress. We see the prophet Joel already said way before, listen, if you're a male servant or a female servant, whether you're, the sons and the daughters, all will receive the Holy Spirit. And not just receive the Holy Spirit, they will prophesy. That's a gift. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit, to prophesy. Something that Scripture says we should. It's good for us to prophesy. Okay, so that is something that is really important, and it means the old and the young, the male and female, God is giving the Holy Spirit to all of us for ministry. And then later in Scripture, when we look at the fivefold ministry, or we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, it doesn't say some gifts are for men and some gifts are for the ladies. Okay, it says these are the gifts. Okay, these are gifts that all the people get. And I mean, today, being part of a body and growing up in a church, I mean, I know that there's ladies teaching at Kiddies Church, and there's other ladies that got gifts that they can lead worship, and other people bring maybe a word, and some intercede. Okay, so we can see the proof is in the pudding. We can see that the fruits of some of the ladies' ministry are just as powerful. It's awesome, okay? And we will certainly miss out if we say, listen, ladies, you are not permitted to speak in church. If we go on a little bit further in Philippians 2, Philippians 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, now here's those two names again. Okay, I just, if I use some of the names of the names we have today, then the Apostle Paul might battle. But I battle with the names he used, so bear with me. Verse 2, I entreat and advise Euodia, and I entreat and advise Syntyche, to agree and to work in harmony in the Lord. And I exhort you too, my genuine yoke fellow, help these two women to keep on cooperating, for they have toiled along with me in the spreading of the good news, the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, so he's using the names of these two ladies, and he says, listen, they've been fellow workers. They yoked with me. He doesn't say, listen, they bake bread and make me coffee. He says, listen, they help me. The same Paul. Paul also wrote Philippians. Okay, and he's saying, listen, they help spreading the gospel, in preaching, you know. So that is something, I mean, I know I can share the gospel with you, but I can call some of the ladies and they can do the same. And anyone can get saved, whether they are male or female. One of my favorite books in Scripture, Galatians. If we look at Galatians 3, verse 25 to 29. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is an important part of Scripture, okay? In the Jewish culture, you know, the Jews had a lot of rules and regulations that said you can't eat with the Gentiles and you can't touch them and this and that, you know. But Jesus already came and he broke those things. He some ladies he touched, okay, he prayed for people. The lady that, wat sy rokspand aangeraak het, she was healed, okay? We know he spoke to the Samaritan lady at the well and he ministered to her. Jesus already broke this thing. And now Paul comes here in Galatians and he says, listen guys, you're all equal. Whether you're a Jew or Greek, whether you're a slave or free, whether you're male or female, in Jesus Christ, we are one. Okay? It doesn't matter how old, how young, from what background you are. We are all one. Okay? God loves us all the same. He doesn't love the slaves or the free or the Jew or the Greek more. Okay? He loves all of us equally, whether we are male or female as well. Okay? And as we see there in Acts, you know, when the Holy Spirit came, He didn't say, listen, I'm just going to give the Holy Spirit to some or the other. Why did we receive the Holy Spirit? Not for our own benefit. It is given to us to give us a powerful ministry, to be able, I mean, there was Peter, such a coward in many ways, and then just then Acts, after he received the Holy Spirit, he stand up and he preached one massive sermon, and how many, a few thousand people got saved. I mean, how awesome is that? Ladies got the Holy Spirit. We, as men, we got received the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ, and we can all minister for the glory of God. When we look here at Romans 16, verse 1 and 2, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at that place, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. That word servant, there in the first line, it's just imagine you seeing Romans 1 there. That word servant, okay, it's the Greek word diakonos, okay? And that means Paul is using that same word, that same Greek word, he's using in other places in Scripture, as in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 5 or 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. He's using that same word for missionary preaching or for pastoral teaching. Okay, so when he's speaking this to this about this Phoebe lady, okay, he says, listen, she was partaking in ministry. Okay, she was diakonos, she was preaching, you know, she was sharing. She wasn't just doing the coffee thing, okay? She was really being working together in the gospel. We also see in Titus 2 verse 4, where Paul is writing to the older woman, and he says, listen, train the younger woman, disciple them, speak to them, and show them how to raise their kids, okay? So if you look at some of the scriptures I've used just now, Philippians, Romans, Galatians, okay, Titus, it's the same Paul who wrote those epistles that wrote 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy that we say right now, it's a bit challenging to us to interpret, because at those places, Paul said, listen, the lady should keep quiet. But now at other places, and there's more, I just don't have the time to share all of that. Okay, there he says, listen, we exalt you, ladies. I mean, if we look at Romans 16, he uses a lot of people that he really uplifts, a lot of people that he really commends. Okay, 8 of them are women. Okay, he doesn't neglect the ladies. So the Apostle Paul doesn't have an issue with women. He doesn't have a problem with that. There's no contradiction in that. We had Esther brought us Hebrews 11, and that's something also in my sermon. Okay, if you look at the Hall of Fame, now that's Hebrews 11 are like God's Hall of Fame, and he talks about Samson and all the mighty guys. Guess what? God doesn't neglect the ladies there. You also name a few ladies. Okay, so God doesn't have a problem with that and call them women of faith. So in the New Testament church, we can really see that there's a place for women to minister as well. There's a place where God is giving the Holy Spirit to the ladies as well. Okay, as I said, you know, the body of Christ, you know, we've got arms and legs and many parts that make things work together. And we don't want to neglect a part of that. Okay, I'm not going to go into Ephesians right now and talk about, you know, submission in marriage. That's something different that I'm not going to talk about right now. But as we see when in Jesus, in Matthew 28, you know, when he talked about the Great Commission, he didn't say, women, stay at home, look after the kids, and just men, you're responsible for that. He gave it to all of us. And I mean, I've been now for 10 years in Chofa, and I've seen over the years many, many teams of the mission teams have got a lot of ladies in it, okay? And they really are an important part of each team. We will probably in June, July receive 3 mission teams again from South Africa, Pretoria, Stellenbosch, Worcester, a few teams, and I'm looking forward to that. And you can mark my words, there will be ladies in those teams, and they will not just be there to look beautiful or anything. They will be there to be part of the ministry. They'll be part of the team. They will make it complete. Okay, so what I'm going to do is now I'm going to end off and I'm going to tell you what our, in Shofar, our official statement, the point we are taking, because many churches are taking different positions on this thing. Some churches say, no, women, you rather be quiet. Put on a hat, sit there, keep quiet. Okay. Some other churches say, listen, you can do this or that, but I just want to give to you what we believe. Okay. And a lot of you are ladies. So if I'm saying this, that means I'm encouraging this. Okay, this is what we stand for, and we believe there's a good biblical place for that. I can read it to you from there. We take an egalitarian, that means just like it's equal or sharing view of manhood and womanhood. That is to say that men and women have been created fully in the image of God, and as such are. Now, that's an important thing. Scripture says we are all made in the image of God. Okay, men and women are made in the image of God, not just women or just men. All of us are made in the image of God. That means we've got all a part of God that we have received, but that we also represent. That is why God didn't give us, as when we are children, God doesn't give us two fathers or two mothers. Okay, He gives us a father and a mother. The father gives something that the mother don't, and the mother gives something that the father don't. Together they make a team. Together that's for the good. Okay? Okay, so it says, fully and equally represent aspects of the nature of God upon earth, fully and equally have potential for relationship with God. Okay, that means we all get born again, we all get saved, and we all can hear God's voice. We all can stand in relationship with God. It doesn't mean men get more of it. No? Women get an equal share. Let's call it a 50-50 share of this. And fully and equally responsible to God for the stewardship of the Great Commission. Okay, God gave us a command. The Great Commission is a command. It says go. That means it's something we should do. That means all of us have got the responsibility to be part of that. We all, if you are born again and spirit-filled and saved, if you're a Christian, okay, if you've got Jesus Christ inside, you can't say, no, I don't share my testimony or I don't minister to people. Okay, if you've got that part of Jesus, sometimes it's just tough for some of us. Okay, but we are all supposed to be the salt and the light. We further believe women are equally empowered by the Spirit to be witnesses of the kingdom of God. If you testify, if you share your testimony, okay, men's testimony aren't more powerful than ladies. We aren't born Christians. We come to a place where we believe in Jesus Christ, okay, and then you have a testimony. So if you've got a testimony and you're a female, or whether you're male, it's equally powerful. Women are equally responsible to the Great Commission to make disciples in the world, okay? So we should lead people to Christ, but then it's like a baby that has been born. Then we should start by discipling those people. And that's why when you join a ministry or a small group, okay, your small group facilitator can talk to you about, listen, I'm going to disciple you. This is why we fast. This is why we pray. This is why we give. This is why we serve. Okay, and the list goes on. This is how many things in Scripture work. Okay, and it doesn't say just men should make disciples. Ladies can make disciples as well. Nevertheless, men and women are also distinct, although equal in value, are not the same. This is not that the one is better than the other, but rather a place where each gender can learn and receive from one another. Okay. In other words, the differences between men and women are an act of creative work of God and ought to be celebrated, cherished, and respected. Okay. If you by any way attack, if you're a man, a woman's dignity or value, or if you're a lady and you do it with a man, okay, you're actually insulting God. We didn't create ourselves male or female. God designed that. Okay, and He made us as a team to work together. Okay, the one isn't better than the other. And so many times, you know, we've got different personalities, and it's so easy to criticize and to say, but listen, you are always like this, or you are always like that. I know, I'm married. It's easy for us to fall in a pitfall. But God created us different. Okay, I remember when I was a young boy, and at the age of about 12, 13, you know, young boys, you know, you become bigger than your mom in a sense. Okay, so when you are 5 or 4, you know, it's easy for mom to give you a discipline or a hiding or something. But when you become 13 or 14 or 15 and you're just as big as mom, it's a bit more challenging. Okay, but I remember being young and in that stage when you can kind of run away from your mom and then she tells you, wait till your dad comes home. Then you still know you've got a problem. Okay, there's a difference. Women are, in a sense, usually, can I say, more emotional or softer? I'll be careful now. Okay, men can be that as well. Guys, cowboys can cry. Okay, but you know, God made us different, but He made us to be a team, not to fight this fight. Listen, the one is better than the other or something like that. Then we're missing the point. Then also, we hold the injunction of the submission of women to be within the confines of a covenantal and sacred marital relationship between a husband and a wife, and not to be universal, applicable to women outside of the marriage. Okay, that means if I'm a young man and I'm working somewhere and my boss is female, then I submit to her. If she says do this, I do that. Okay, that doesn't mean every lady should just, I mean, that means especially for you at school, ladies. That doesn't mean you submit to the young men, okay? Only in marriage, okay? And as I said, I'm not going to preach on that. We're not going to closely get through at the time then. But if your boss, some of my bosses have been ladies, and she gives you a job to do, then you do it, and you do it to the best of your ability, and you do it to glorify God. And then lastly, we hold the disputed scriptural passages to be cultural specific and location specific instead of universal in absolute. Okay, that means we believe there's enough scriptural proof in a sense. God has ministered in enough or given us enough in scripture that we can know today that ladies, you have a place in church. You are part of the body of Christ. You can get some of the fivefold gifts. You can get the gifts of the Father, of the Son, or the Holy Spirit. Okay, that means if you worship and I say you've got something on your heart, something to share, I don't say just the men come. Okay, if you're a lady and God speak to you, we acknowledge that. We honor that. We listen to that. We act on that. Okay? If you are a lady and you pray for someone, it's just as powerful as if a man should pray for you. Okay? If you leave here and this afternoon at 3 o'clock, you meet someone that's broken, okay, and you're a lady, you don't have to go and say, okay, cool, I'll go and fetch a guy quickly and he can pray for you and then you can get saved. No, you can minister. There's ladies that are spiritual mothers in the faith, that is discipling people, that is building up, okay? So we believe, and if you want to talk to me a little bit after this, you're most welcome, but I believe we still see a lot of bad fruits in society about women not standing in that place. Not that they don't want to, but because men don't allow. Women are not our possessions or something, okay? I've got this ring. It says I'm a married man, but my wife has got one as well. That says she's married to me. I don't own her or something. We belong to God. We are one in Christ. So I want to encourage you, ladies, whether you're old or younger or older or doesn't matter. Okay, God loves us all equally. He loves us all equally. And what He has given you is special for the body of Christ. It's special in terms of the Great Commission, okay? We need everyone's skills. We've got a broken world out there that needs to hear or the gospel, and we need to be the salt and the light, okay? All of us, whether you're male or female. Amen. Father, we want to come before you this morning, Lord God, as a church, Lord, and we want to thank you for scripture, Lord God, and we want to thank you for the tools that you have given us, Lord God, that we can compare scripture with scripture, Lord God, and that we can study it and see, Lord God, through 1,500 years of writing scripture and giving it to us, that we can see your heart, that you can see your heart for people, that we can see your heart for men and for women. Thank you, Lord, that we are all created in your image, Lord, that you created us different, but you created us equal, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that that we can value the ladies in our church, that we can value the ladies in our society, value the ladies in our marriages, in our relationships as precious and as powerful, Lord God, and that you have also given them there right from the start in the upper room, Lord God, that you have given them also the Holy Spirit and the ministry gifts, that I can prophesy, but my wife can also prophesy, Lord God. And Father, we just acknowledge that, Lord God, and we say, Lord God, that we are open in church to the ministry of any person, Lord, any Christian that you speak to, that should speak to the church, Lord God. We will always check it, Lord God. But any person's contribution are welcome, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in Galatians, Lord, we can see that we are all equal, Lord, that we are all one in Christ, no matter what language, no matter what culture, whether we are male or female, Father God, whether we Jew or Greek, that you love us all equally, Lord God. Father, I pray that you should speak to us as men about this, Lord God, that you should speak to the ladies about that as well, Father God, and the gifts, the skills, the blessings, whatever you have given and bestowed over us, Lord God, that we should use it, Lord God, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for being here. It has been wonderful to have you guys here. I'm really looking forward to next week when Pastor Ross and Magriet, his wife, will be here. We'll have a whole weekend of ministry from the Friday evening to the Saturday morning to the Sunday in church. Remember, just the one church service next week, 9:30 in English. Everyone is welcome. Bring someone with, and please come and partake. If you don't have a tent, I'll lay hands on you right now. Get a place to stay over in Windhoek if you really want to be part of the weekend. You are all welcome. And then if there's anyone here and you feel you need to talk to me about the message, or you feel you're in a place where you really battle to see this thing, or anything like that, I would love to pray with you. I would love to talk to you. So have a wonderful Sunday. Be blessed. And we guys will see you next week here at Seyderhof. Amen.